This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is up? Welcome on into this Thursday edition of Sports Talk, February the 27th. My, how this week has flown. Getting ready for some Pelicans basketball this evening. After the first break, we'll be talking to Ali Cosell, NBA writer covering the Pels. Four-game road trip begins tonight with back-to-back games in Phoenix, taking on the Suns. Last night, we had some action on WWL with the LSU baseball team that was taking on Dallas Baptist. And, you know, it was the first big test for the Tigers, taking on a ranked opponent. But, man, oh, man, LSU had their way with Dallas Baptist, took an early lead on them, end up getting a 7-3 victory. Tigers took control at a 4-run fourth inning, which included a 2-run home run from Daniel Dickinson.
The 3-2, this one hit down the left field line. Can it stay fair? It's towards the wall, and it is out of here. Home run down the left field line.
And what do you know, Daniel Dickinson, he would also account for the final out of the game, which sealed the victory for LSU.
Ground ball off the glove of Evans. It's going to be a tough play for Dickinson, the second baseman. He gets to it, and he throws to first for the final out of the ball game, and the Tigers win. Improves it 8-1 by knocking off 19th ranked Dallas Baptist 7-3 to final. Outstanding pitching here tonight for LSU as they allow just 3 hits, 13 strikeouts. Derek Curiel, a huge night tonight with 3 runs scored. Daniel Dickinson, a 2-run homer. And yeah, the 15 runners left on base, not great, but it's a victory.
Jeff Palermo there with the call on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Also, Bear Jones went 2-for-4 in the game, had an RBI, also 2 walks. And you heard there the only negative of the night was the so many runners left on base for the Tigers. But, man, oh, man, Charlie, what happened with Dallas Baptist pitching? So many free passes.
It's their midweek staff. It's not everyone has LSU's pitching rotation where you can throw Connor Ware and Zach Cowan and Cason Evans in a midweek game, Steve. So you weren't going to see their best guys, but the way that LSU dominated on the mound against a good Dallas Baptist offense, the bats are always there, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't face their best arms, but you faced their best bats. And LSU on the mound took that test head on, and they were fantastic. There were 2 mistake pitches that entire night, and they were sent to the second deck.
Right, they made a pay on them.
Field. The Dallas Bombers, as they sometimes call them, like, they got some big bats in that lineup, and they crushed a couple pitches, but that was it. I mean, outside of that, LSU's pitching staff was in control the entire night, Steve.
Yeah, you mentioned Connor Ware, 4 innings, gave up 1 earned run, struck out 6. Zach Cowan, 3 innings pitch, gave up an earned run and struck out 5 on the evening. interested to see what they do now. The LSU team stays in Texas. They'll play in Frisco tomorrow against Kansas State. That'll be a 2 p.m. first pitch over on the bet. New Orleans 92.9 FM and 1350 AM. Definitely be tuned in to that, and we'll give you updates throughout the show tomorrow on Sports Talk when we get things going. Tonight, the LSU women's basketball team is in action. The 7th-ranked Lady Tigers will be facing 20th-ranked Alabama. LSU's 27-2 on the season, and a win tonight would give them their most wins ever in a regular season. Another big accomplishment potentially on tap for Kim Mulkey. Alabama, meanwhile, looking at them, they are 22-6, 9-5 in the SEC. So some LSU action to watch this tonight, as well as the Pelicans, which we will have coming up 7:30 pregame coverage, 8 o'clock tip-off in Phoenix against the Suns. And another, not really a baseball series here when you play them back-to-back, I guess, Charlie.
Yeah, back-to-back is a back-to-back. Real quick, Steve, before we get into Ollie and that interview about the Pelicans, I wanted to bring up some numbers from last night. I'm looking at the comparison stat sheet for DBU versus LSU this past night. Overall hitting, as I mentioned, DBU 3 of 30 in the game. They hit 100. And I mentioned this to Mike last hour. With Connor Ware, the JUCO transfer, Jay Johnson gushed about the guy. He said that he would be a weekend rotation pitcher on a bunch of different teams in the country. You know, he was one of the best pitchers that they had in the preseason in spring ball and, you know, or not spring ball, in fall ball, like kind of leading up into the season. And he's pitching in the midweeks for him right now because their weekend rotation of Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson and Chase Shores is already so stout, right? You have that guy pitching midweek games, and then you have Zach Cowan coming out of the bullpen for midweek games. And Jay saw something there. I brought that up yesterday ahead of the game. I figured that, you know, it was what happened the midweek prior, you know, where he threw Connor Ware as the starter, and then he had Cowan be the first guy out of the bullpen. It's a little bit of a different look where we have Ware's, who's like a taller left-handed pitcher. He's, I think, 6'4". He throws from the left side. And then Zach Cowan's a little bit shorter. He's like 5'11". He throws from the right side. It's a little bit of a different look to kind of keep an offense off balance. So those two combined to throw 7 great innings last night. And then Cason Evans, when his name gets called upon, because Cooper Williams gave up a couple walks in the 8th inning, Cason Evans comes up and he just locks down DBU for the final 2 innings.
Yeah.
I don't think he's given up a hit this year, by the way. And Cason Evans, I think, has thrown like 6 or so innings so far. Fantastic start to your freshman campaign with LSU. So those 3 guys, I would take them over any midweek, you know, rotation of the country. Because Zach Cowan, as I mentioned with Mike, was the ace of the Wofford staff that made it to regional play last year. And he's pitching out of the bullpen on the midweek for this LSU staff. If that doesn't tell you how good this group is, I don't know what does. They're elite. And so it was on full display. Their first test against a good offense in Dallas Baptist passed with flying colors, in my opinion. A couple things here as well, Steve. As I mentioned, I was looking at the numbers. Dallas Baptist 0 of 8 with 2 outs last night. Oof. Here's the thing. With runners on base, they only had 6 opportunities last night with a runner on base. LSU, in comparison, had 26. So, you know, that kind of shows you that. They were 1-6 with runners on, 0-4 with runners in scoring position. You know, they were just elite last night, the LSU pitching staff, against a good DBU offense.
13 strikeouts.
13 strikeouts to 3 hits. That plays anywhere,
right,
Steve? So, you know, this upcoming weekend against Kansas State, Nebraska, Sam Houston at the Frisco Classic, I'm really looking forward to it. Kansas State is the one that intrigues me the most. When we talked with Aaron Fitt about them, you know, he mentioned Jacob Frost, their Friday guy, had like a 7.5 ERA last year, but he just locked down Arkansas this past weekend, which was part of their 3-game set that they won. They beat Arkansas, they beat Michigan, and they beat TCU all at Globe Life Field this past weekend. Aaron Fitt got to see all of them, and he mentioned with Jacob Frost, he's a lefty that kind of throws upwards of 91 to 95 with a fastball, and then they follow him up with some kind of the guys that don't have as much velo, but they play off their changeup and their sliders. So it's a little bit of a different look out of the bullpen for them as well. It's going to be interesting to see how LSU matches up with them at the plate, because, you know, they did lock down Arkansas this past week, so they're obviously solid, and we'll see how LSU matches up tomorrow. And then Nebraska, who was a top 25 team, and Sam Houston, who's got a great program. So as I mentioned yesterday, Steve, it felt like these 4 games, DBU, Kansas State, Nebraska, and Sam Houston, were the 4 premium matchups in non-conference play, and they all just happened to come on the same week.
Looking here at the attendance for yesterday, they have it at 5,794. Seemed like a lot more to me. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's a huge ballpark, though.
Yeah, Globe Life Field has 40,000 capacity. So it probably was, it felt more, but maybe it just didn't fill out as much.
What's funny is I did see, you know, some of the media, like our, you know, Cokie Riley, who we talked to from The Advocate, saying he was sitting on the moon watching the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, Globe Life is a cool place, man. And I'm a Ranger hater because I'm an Astros fan, but I can admit that they have a nice park.
Yeah, it pains you to say that. I feel you. Going to the Minnesota Vikings Stadium, you know, obviously there's no love lost there between the Saints and Vikings, but I had to give it to them that they got a great looking place. And I don't know, a lot of people think the, you know, blowing the horn with the skull is cheesy. It was a pretty cool atmosphere to witness there when I got to see the Saints taking on the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, you're a Eagles fan as well, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I think of the skull chant, I think of the Eagles fans doing the Foles chant. Like in the NFC Championship game after the meaningless miracle.
Yes.
And they got blown out.
I like that,
out.
The meaningless miracle.
I mean, that's what it is. Because they got blown out by the Eagles in the very next game. And the Eagles fans were doing the Foles, Foles, Foles. Oh, man, it's great.
Yeah, the Minnesota mishap, whatever. There was no miracle going on there.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It was disgusting. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into more of Pelicans basketball. NBA writer Ali Cosell will join us. You can sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. Taking a break here on Sports Talk, but be right back on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Welcome back into our Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Getting ready for some Pelicans basketball on 8 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM and 105.3 FM. To help us do some bird watching, we got Ali Cosell, NBA writer, who covers the Pels. Ali, how you been, man? You enjoying your Mardi Gras?
Good evening, Steve. Yeah, absolutely, right? This weather finally shaped up.
Amen.
The past few days. It's great. And it's supposed to continue, it sounds like.
Last two victories for the Pels, taking down the Spurs in the Smoothie King Center. Just before we get into some bird talk, curious to know if you think we've seen the last of Chris Paul in the arena. I know there was a lot of speculation about that. This could be his final season.
Yeah, it could very well be, right? I mean, he's pretty much accomplished everything but win the championship.
Right.
And I'm guessing that he probably doesn't think that he can even be a main cog for a team to do that anymore. So it's probably lost its luster, I guess. So, yeah, I hope it isn't. But then again, you know, everything can't last forever, right? All good things can't last forever. So one thing I would like to see, though, is I hope New Orleans, when he does retire, they honor him in some way, right? Maybe hang his jersey or something in the Raptors. Because if you think about it, he left on way better terms than, say, Anthony Davis or Eric Gordon, right? Some other guys in the past. And moreover, I mean, he was like an MVP caliber type player, right? I mean, he should have won it that one year that Kobe sold it from him. So, yeah, he should be celebrated. But let's wait until we get that official word.
Yeah, that would be nice if we can get the Pels basketball back to where it once was. I know that's when I was like first moved down to the New Orleans area, and just it was tons of excitement. The arena was rocking, and you know, you had the Crescent City connection going. This Pels team this year, we know about the issues they've had. The injuries have been a burden on them, and luckily, man, it was scary to see Trey Murphy going down late in the game against the Spurs, but he ended up being all right. But two in a row now for the Birds, three of their last four games, and now beginning this four-game Mardi Gras road trip against the Phoenix Suns team that we know has just been struggling mightily, and you know they don't seem to have an answer for what's going on right now. What are your takes on this matchup going into the Suns game? I know, unfortunately, one of the new additions in Kelly Olynyk won't be available in this, and he's definitely provided a surprisingly big presence right away.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk's been a great surprise, right? I think we all expected more from Bruce Brown in terms of contributions and impact, but it's been the other way around. So I think the Pelicans have found, honestly, their backup center for at least next season, right? He's got one more year on his deal anyways, and he seems to be fitting in so well, right, with the guys where I'm hearing in practice, for instance, he's pointing things out to brand-new teammates, right? Telling coaches, hey, maybe we should do it this way, right? So sounds like he's an important cog already, and he can spread the floor, right? Career 37% three-point shooter. He's got that chemistry, it looks like, with Zion, right? I mean, I can't get it out of my head, him throwing a half-court lob, alley-oop lob to Zion where he threw down easily. So love everything you've seen from him. But as far as tonight's matchup, yeah, you know, the Suns are more disappointing to me, right, compared to the Pelicans. Pelicans, they got destroyed by injury, right? When you just look and see how many of their players have played compared to the Suns, top three players for the Pels in terms of games played, Eve Missy, Javonte Green, Jeremiah Robinson, or when you look at Phoenix, they don't have as many issues, right? Devin Booker's played over 50 games. I think Kevin Durant's at about 45, right? Zion just passed the 20-game played barrier. So they're a team that what we've been hearing, right, they're just not getting along. The chemistry is non-existent, and things have progressively gotten worse. So what, they're 11th right now, three games out of, I think, the play-in tournament even. So they're not heading anywhere fast. But you got to think, with a team with those three stars, right, including Bradley Beal, they're going to want to at least try and make an effort. So I think they're going to put up a good fight against the Pelicans where, yeah, they're coming in with a two-game winning streak, but now that you're already shorthanded without, you know, Kelly Olynyk, yeah, it's probably going to be, you know, a little bit of a rude awakening to start this road trip.
Here's the thing about the Suns that's really intriguing to me. It feels like it's been a slice of humble pie for Matt Ishbia, where,
yeah,
you know, he trades all those picks to Brooklyn, and then he goes and says, oh, I want Bradley Beal. We'll take on that money. And, you know, they move on from Frank Vogel, and they bring in Mike Budenholzer, and they get off to an okay start. But this February collapse, Ollie, just, I mean, we got to call it what it is. They're 2-9 this month. And that includes losses to Portland. That includes losses to San Antonio, who we just saw the Pelicans wax in back-to-back games. A loss to Toronto. Most recently, the overtime loss to Memphis just the other, on Tuesday night. They're now 27-31. As you mentioned, they're out of the play-in tournament. They're 11th in the Western Conference. And for a team led by star power like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, like that's just a smack to the face. I mean, for the expectations that the Suns have, I agree with you, Ali. I think they're one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I saw that game where they lost to the Spurs, right? I think that was the first game San Antonio was without Victor Wembanyama. And I was just shocked to see how poorly they were playing, right? Chris Paul was the most fiery guy on the court. And he normally is almost anyways, but he was getting the face of Kevin Durant and all these guys, and they really didn't have much pushback. It's really sad to see, right? I mean, the way Devin Booker's in the prime of his career, Kevin Durant's one of the all-time greats. And Matt Ishbia, you're right. He thought he knew what he was doing, but when you sent out Chris Paul unceremoniously, and you traded DeAndre Ayton just to get Bradley Beal on your team, gave away that young talent, right? Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. Yeah, I think he made that. He turned that franchise much for the worse.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And then Ali, looking a little bit further down their road trip, because they do have the game tonight and tomorrow against Phoenix, but then they have the matchup on Sunday against Utah, and then wrapping up the road trip on Mardi Gras Day at Los Angeles, the Lakers. First and foremost, the Utah Jazz, your thoughts on them? Obviously, they've had a tough year. We remember when the Jazz came to New Orleans for back-to-back games. It was around the time the blizzard was happening. I remember we were stuck in the studio, and we were watching the second game specifically, where the Pelicans made that gigantic comeback. You know, I think CJ McCollum had a monster performance in that game, 45 points. Yeah, there it is. And they won that game in overtime. Your thoughts on the Utah Jazz, and then we'll get to the Lakers in just a little bit.
Yeah, they're feisty, right? I mean, they've had recent wins, what, against the Rockets? I know they beat the Lakers, too, and they've had one other decent win, I want to say. So they've got enough talent to where they can win most nights, right? I mean, Kessler, he's as solid of a center that's not one of those elite centers, right, as you can find in the league. And then Lauri Markkanen, he's been playing much better of late. Their young guys are kind of growing up, like Collier, their rookie, Keontae George, they're contributing. I just like the way they play. They play tough. I mean, you mentioned they've given the Pelicans trouble in recent years, and you kind of see why. Kelly Olynyk was on some of these right pass versions of the Jazz, too, so he had a kind of a hand in some of those Pelicans losses. But, yeah, this is a team that, you know, it's a lot like the Pelicans. They're trying to position themselves for the future, right? So you want to not win too many games this year, get another good draft pick on board, and add to kind of the talent that's already in-house. And like I said, Danny Ainge is running the show. You saw how he built up the Boston Celtics, right, with Tatum and Brown. And he's largely the architect of all the success they're having now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually does it with Utah, too. So, but, yeah, that matchup, though, Pelicans always seem to struggle over there in Utah, right? And then you've got the Lakers. I mean, Pelicans could conceivably lose all four of these games on the road, which wouldn't be the first time this season.
Ollie, before Charlie gets into you with the Lakers, just curious, with no Olynyk tonight, do we know who's going to be in the starting lineup? Is it going to end up being Carlo Mackovich?
Yeah, probably will be, right? Because I know that Willie wants to keep kind of the big ball.
Hey, it's been working.
It's worked so well.
Yeah.
Right? The rebounding's there, the points in the paint. Zion can be, he's your point guard. CJ's at the two, Trey at the three. And so they like that configuration. So, yeah, fully expect for that tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's been working as far as rebounding as well. Those two games against the Spurs, Ali, I remember we were talking with Will Guillory about this other day. After the first win, it was, I think, like a 60-something to 30-something advantage on the boards for the Pelicans. And that's about a week after David Griffin said they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the last 15 years, which statistically, yes, they're not a very good rebounding team. It was finally nice to see them actually beat someone on the boards. But looking ahead as well, Ali, as I mentioned, with this Los Angeles Lakers matchup on Fat Tuesday, the Lakers, I don't know if I've actually ever brought it up to you, the Luka Doncic trade was just unbelievable. And obviously, we're a couple weeks removed from it. Luka's kind of settling in. I know that he put up that triple-double performance against the Mavericks just the other night, and he became the third player in NBA history to have a triple-double against every single team in the NBA. So your thoughts on Luka's fit with the Lakers and obviously, you know, their postseason aspirations, but their matchup with the Pelicans next week as well?
And from a vantage point of a New Orleans follower and fan, I absolutely hate it. But for a Los Angeles perspective, you have to love it, right? You've got a guy that's not even in his prime, that's one of the top five, if not top two or three players, probably for the next 10 years in Luka Doncic, right? So you've got your heir apparent to LeBron James. And the reason I like it is because, you know, we've seen it. LeBron's been tasked with doing too much over these last, what, two, 3 years, to where honestly it's driven his body into the ground at times, caused injury and such. So he can't get through an 82-game schedule. You don't want to push a 40-year-old, right, who's already doing incredible things, that much even harder. So I think Luka's going to honestly work out any better to where he's going to be able to control the offense, and now LeBron can pick his spots. And moreover, I think LeBron understands the game so well that he's going to play more of a, at times, like a Draymond Green type role. He's going to be kind of the big, doing the dirty work, getting rebounds, steals, and blocks, and letting Luka, right, run the offense and get the scoring going along with Austin Reeves. So that's why, honestly, I think, guys, the Lakers, they might be my third favorite team to come out of the West, right? If it's all said and done, we're in the playoffs, OKC is everybody's favorite. Then it's like neck and neck for me between the Lakers and Golden State. Because I think both of those trades, right, Luka to the Lakers, Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, has really just changed their chemistry for the better. I know the Lakers are missing right size. You're relying on Jackson Hayes a little bit too much. But I think they can overcome it because most of this league is small anyways, right? And the Lakers, their defense has been fantastic without Anthony Davis. Kind of a surprise to everybody, so I think they're fine.
One of the Pels I'm definitely pulling for, Ali, Jordan Hawkins, and he's been getting a lot more minutes lately at least, but still been kind of cold from that three-point range. What's it going to take for this guy to get going?
Yeah, you know, we're watching him closely because you're right. I mean, this has been a heck of a spell. I mean, he opened the season actually decently, then that back issues cropped up, and he hasn't been the same since. He'll have an occasional game where he kind of gets to whatever point total over 10, but it usually takes him that amount of shot attempts, right? So, I mean, that was like that the other night. So when you watch him, he can shoot the spot up, and then he's trying to get to the rim, and at times he's successful. But the problem is his jumper, when he's trying to elevate over guys, it's just not going down. And I'm not sure because I don't have the most trained eyes. I'm not a shooting expert, but I don't think his shot looks the same either. Some are more line driving. He doesn't have that soft touch like we've seen last year, right? So I think he's just going through things that are probably physical and mental. So I'm just guessing we probably won't even see the best of Jordan the rest of this year because we're already what, 3/4 almost through the season, and he still hasn't found it. I think it's going to take a full off season for him before he gets comfortable again.
Your thoughts on the minutes for some of these guys as well, Ali, because I saw Bruce Brown just this past night getting a ton of minutes. Obviously, Kelly Olynyk was getting a good amount of minutes as a starter for the game. But playing the young guys, it feels like that's what the Pelicans should be focusing on this point of the season. You know, Antonio Reeves, as you mentioned, Jordan Hawkins, Steve, but also Carlo, all these guys on the bench that should be getting a ton of minutes for this team at this point of the season to see what you have for them ahead of next year.
Yeah, that's going to be the plan, right? I mean, I noticed the other day that I think Kelly didn't even come close to 30 minutes, that they're really dividing up those minutes, right? Making sure Carlo gets over 20. And I think Antonio Reeves is eventually going to join that group as well. Can't forget Brandon Boston once he's back, too. I mean, all of a sudden, we don't see Jeremiah Robinson, Earl, for instance, right? Last few games, hardly at all has been out there on the court. So, yeah, it's without a doubt focus on development. And I'll tell you what, Carlo Matkovich is finally showing some things, right? The other night, he had 19 points for a career high. I think he only missed one shot in that game against the Spurs, 7 of 8 shooting. And you just like that he looks more confident, more aggressive chasing rebounds, being able to hold his ground. So I'm very curious if maybe the Pelicans have something there, right? Because he's still going to be under contract for at least next season, maybe two. Not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, you would hope that he could maybe fill like a Larry Nance role for you. And then with Antonio Reeves, Jordan Hawkins, you want to see these guys find their shot. Same thing with Brandon Boston. He's going to be a part of the rotation. So having all these guys play and play decent minutes is going to be so helpful the next season because a lot of these guys will be back.
We haven't even talked about the big guy, Zion Williamson. Have you been noticing a difference in him at all? I know Trey Murphy said the other night, you know, there's just a different look in his eye, seems to be more committed right now. And, I mean, when he's playing, he's been so efficient. And I don't know if they'll end up ramping up the minutes this season for him. It's, kind of a lost year for the Pelicans. What's the point of, extending him right now? But overall, what have been your thoughts on Zion right now?
I've loved it. Ever since he came back from those hamstring couple strains, he's been fantastic. Where on both sides of the ball, you're seeing the Zion you thought that the Pelicans had drafted right out of Duke. Where on both sides, offensively, he's that menace that we've gotten to know. But defensively now, he's getting those steals, blocks, guarding fast point guards. The other night against the Mavericks, guard Kyrie Irving did a really good job not letting him get it by him multiple times. So when he can play like that, it just takes him to an elite level where he becomes suddenly a top 15 or maybe top 20 player automatically with that high field goal percentage, right? He's an offensive initiator. He is your point guard right for now and probably through the rest of the season. So he's, when you look at his numbers, for instance, Steve, over the last, what, 5-6 weeks per 36 minutes, it's very comparable to what Shai Gilgeous has been doing. Right. So that impact per minute is fantastic. And the fact that we can say it's also on the defensive end, even better. Right. So hopefully this will get the carryover because we haven't seen this Zion. And that's why you want to see him finish the year healthy. Right. So he can work on his game over the summer instead of, say, something like rehab, which has usually been his course of action.
Ali, I'm going to throw a wild curveball at you right before we let you run. You talked about the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference, there's a great story that I think is being a little bit underreported in NBA circles, and that's the Detroit Pistons, who for the last 3 years have just been a miserable franchise. I think they won a total of 33 games in those three seasons. Right now they're 31. It was like 31-133, I think, was their record. Right now they're 33-26 at sixth place in the Eastern Conference. They're not even in the play-in tournament at this point. They're in the playoffs in the East. They've won 8 straight games. They just picked up a signature victory over the Boston Celtics. And Trajan Langdon, obviously the ties with New Orleans, so that's part of the reason why I brought it up. But I mean, is there a better story in basketball right now than what the Detroit Pistons are quietly doing?
No, I mean, coming out of the All-Star break, they were already a good story, right? Just making the play-in tournament would have been a great story for them, but now it has to be one of the top stories, if not the top one, right? 8 in a row, you just mentioned, if they can stay in this position, not even have to go through the play-in route. And I'll tell you what, if they can stay at 6 and the Knicks stay at 3, with the way the Knicks have kind of looked a little bit more, let's say, you're not positive of just how good this team is, right? Because they can't beat the really good teams. Well, with the way the Pistons are playing, could the Pistons possibly upset the Knicks, say, in the first-round matchup? Because Cade Cunningham, he's playing like an all-NBA player, right? You were wondering where his career was going, right? He was inefficient. There's a lot of comps saying that he's not even half as good as Brandon Ingram. And this year, he's put it all together, guys. And then they've also got some other young guys. Jalen Duren, he's their center moving forward. Looks good. You've got Malik Beasley. What a great pickup by Trajan Langdon. He's one of the league leaders in three-point shooting. And you just like the toughness and chemistry overall with that team. Yeah, it's clicking for them. I'm happy Trajan went to a spot where he's, you know, basically I hope he gets lauded for all the work that he's done and how they've made a nice turnaround.
Yeah, and I thought they were crazy last year, you know, just giving one and done for Monty Williams, and not so crazy after all.
Yeah, JB Bickerstaff is killing it there right now.
Yes.
Ollie, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and looking forward to tonight's tip-off, 8 o'clock against the Suns. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good Mardi Gras, too.
Thank you, man. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Well, party people, WWL is your Mardi Gras information station. Rolling tonight, Uptown, crew of Babylon, Chaos Amuses, and in Metairie, the crew of Symphony. Just go to WWL.com and get everything you need to know. Plus, check out our Mardi Gras safety guide. We'll tell you what you can and can't bring to parades, where to find first aid stations, and just general common sense safety tips. Also, listen for Arthur Hardy's parade previews weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m., high noon, and on your drive home at 5. He'll tell you which crews are rolling and what they'll be throwing and any changes along the way. All presented by LCMC Health, keeping you well on WWL. We're taking a break and be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. We are closing out the second half of Sports Talk. Yesterday at the NFL Combine, we saw Shedeur Sanders walking around. He had a Browns, Vikings, and Saints hat hanging from his backpack. Today, Nick Underhill of NewOrleans.football reporting that the Saints have met with quarterback Cam Ward. So a little interesting there, but you know what? When it comes down to it, you know how many prospects the Saints are going to be quote-unquote meeting with over the next couple of days?
Due diligence.
Yes, exactly.
That's all it is. They're meeting with a guy. I don't think there's any world where the Saints trade up from pick 9 to pick 1 and just deplete their draft assets for the future to get Cam Ward. That wouldn't be a very smart decision. I also don't think there's any real reality where Cam Ward falls past like pick 5 in this draft.
I agree.
So due diligence, that's all it is.
Tomorrow on Sports Talk, me and Jeff Nowak will be talking to you more about the NFL Combine. Justin Mello of the Draft Network will join us. Want to tune in for that? He's always got great knowledge. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Coming up 7:30, Pelicans pregame coverage against the Suns. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the parades and talk to you tomorrow. Who dat?
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.